what I say now is stop hustling and start helping. Like, show that you can help someone by actually helping them. Very often, it's easier to actually get someone a result in advance than actually try to convince them that you can get them a result. So,
welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast. We're leading a healthcare revolution by showing natural health and fitness experts how to become community influencers so they can build profitable, predictable, and enjoyable practices. Each week, we share simple, easily actionable expert branding and heart-centered marketing strategies so you can flood your practice with high-quality patients, building a healthier and happier community. And now your hosts, Angus Pike and Tony Rose.
Alan Dibb, welcome back to the Marketing Your Practice podcast. Great to see you again.
Hey, pleasure to be back. How are you guys?
We're doing very, very well, thank you. And we're very excited about this second round chat with you to chat about the marketing. And after the first episode, and guys, if you haven't seen Alan on his first one, then go back and check that out at audiomedia.com/podcast/26. That's the number 26, and check out the first round. But it was that good.
Alan was our record holder for a while, wasn't he?
He did hold a record.
So only for a while? What's going on?
Well, this is why we're back again, because as the audience has grown, it makes it easier for the latter podcasters. So you were sitting up the top there for a long time, and let's get you back up the top there again.
So let's do it.
Now, we had a chat last time. I came across Alan. I was doing a search through Amazon. I was having a look for books on marketing, which I do at least once or twice a month. And I found a book called The One Page Marketing Plan. And I have to admit, I downloaded it and bought it with low expectations and read it in not much more than an afternoon, and just went, here is somebody that has put together the essence of marketing and a great kind of mix between branding and direct marketing, and then simplified it, because so many of our listeners now are not marketers. They have no intention of ever really seeing themselves as marketers, but they're small business owners. Mm. And so many of our listeners in particular have a mission to want to serve more people, of which marketing then becomes an essential tool. So we spoke lots about that last time. So as Tony said, if you haven't, two things. One, go back and listen to that episode. But two, just go and buy the book. How much is it on Amazon now if you buy just the Kindle?
I think the Kindle one's at about $2.99 if you're in the US store, or $3.99 in Australia. So yeah, you kept it really nice and low.
Seven copies.
Yeah, they probably should have. at least. So we're going to do an update today. So we're going to talk a little bit. There's two things I'm really excited to chat with Alan about today. Is kind of what's working now in marketing, always a good conversation there too. And this thing that I feel is kind of prudent for me at the moment with across the two practices that I have is staffing, hiring teams, getting the right kind of support people around you there too. So I feel like I'm getting a bit of one-on-one coaching going on here. So
awesome.
With all of that. So let's get into this. What's working now? What are you seeing with the people you're coaching and working with, and where's marketing heading?
Yeah, look, more and more I see it inbound being so, so important. And, you know, what's working more and more I see is people who can actually demonstrate that they can help their prospects, and demonstrate it by actually helping them in advance. So, you know, so I think, you know, the last few years have really been dominated by some of the guys and gals who say, look, hustle, 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 and kind of, you know, we're on a hunt for new clients and new prospects and all of that. And that hustle culture, I think, has been a little bit toxic, and I think prospects are a little bit over it, the kind of hunting and hustling and all of that. So what I say now is stop hustling and start helping. Like, show that you can help someone by actually helping them. Very often, it's easier to actually get someone a result in advance than actually try to convince them that you can get them a result. So that's something that I've really seen has been super, super important. And it's the way that prospects are moving, and it's the way, I think it's one of the most ethical ways of doing marketing, by actually giving people, you know, a demo of what you can actually do for them by actually helping them. And, you know, that really puts you in pole position when it comes time for them to take their money out of their wallet and select someone to deal with.
Alan, can you just double down on that concept of helping in advance? There might be some listeners that go, yeah, not really sure what you mean by that. If I'm a chiropractor, what would be a concept that I could help someone in advance?
Yeah, look, so obviously, you know, you can't get someone to do their own chiropractic treatment, but if we know that chiropractors help people in all numbers of ways other than, you know, perhaps back pain or headaches, there are all sorts of treatments that chiropractors do. But is there a process, is there something that you can get them to give them a result in advance? For example, can you help them with headaches? Can you help them with weight loss? Can you help them with energy? Can you help them with any of those things? So if you know, and I'm sure in almost every kind of practice in almost every kind of industry, there's, you know, an easy way that someone can get results in advance, or a quick win that you can give your prospects or clients. So if there's a way that you can actually do that, and you can deliver that through a book, through a podcast series like you guys are doing now, through a free report, through a video series, through a course, those sorts of things, because, you know, once you give me a result in advance, I mean, you know, if I've paid you nothing and I'm getting something good in exchange, I mean, I can't imagine what will happen when I actually pay you money and we work together. So very often, you just giving people results in advance. And you mentioned, you know, that the book is out there fairly cheaply, and that's a demonstration of that. I mean, someone can pay a couple of bucks and get results in advance. Every single day I open my inbox and people say, I read the book, I loved it, you really explained the clarity and all of that sort of stuff. How do we work together? Or tell me about your programs. And that's stuff coming, that's inbound marketing, and that's an example of results in advance. So if you've got a piece of what I call unicorn content that you can put out there, that you can put your name to, that you can be famous for, that people will interview you for, that people will ask you about, then that's going to make all the difference. Leads will come to you. And that's one of the best ways of doing marketing. I mean, you know, I get on phone calls with entrepreneurs, and really the phone call is, you know, about, hey, is this right? Are we right for each other? And if yes, we work together. It's not about, hey, what do you do, and to tell me how much it is. So that's a very, very different conversation. It's a conversation on a very, very different level.
Mm. I was looking, we've got a class that we're teaching this afternoon, Tony and I, and I was kind of trying to get a bit of an understanding of where trust levels are, particularly on the internet at the moment. And not surprisingly, they're at an all-time low. And particularly Australians, and we have people around the world that are listening to this, but Australians rank as the lowest in terms of, we are so distrustful of what we see on the internet now. And so the mere fact that you might put something up on Facebook that says, one, come and see me, or you might go crazy and say, hey, come and see me and I'll give you a discount or two, is not enough, because we just don't trust you. And then the best way, I think, to build trust, to build authority and expertise, is to actually help somebody get a result there too. So, you know, for our listeners and stuff out there too, so if you were a chiropractor and you're kind of focusing on headaches and you're thinking, okay, look, the only thing I can't really do via a video or an ebook is adjust somebody. But, you know, I mean, I dare say if you're dealing with people with headaches, you probably look at the lifestyle things that go along with it. You know, what foods they should eat less of, what foods they should eat more of. You know, is their posture at work that you see, you know, set up their desk. There's a whole bunch of lifestyle things that you can start somebody on the path there. And then maybe one of the ways that you can get people results in advance is teach them relationship between the neck and headaches. And they find, so sometimes that concept of results in advance is, look, I don't even have to follow Alan's weight loss tips, but if they make sense to me and I can see myself following them, that's enough for Alan to kind of build authority in that too. I think sometimes our listeners get a little bit wound up with where that fits in. Would you agree with that, or have you got other bits that you would kind of add to that?
100%. And I love that you researched the whole trust factor, because the fact is, like, a lot of people think that they're starting at zero in the trust factor and that they've got to add to that. But no, you're starting in negative, because people have been bitten so many times, and people have been, you know, stung so many times by, you know, unscrupulous operators, or maybe just people who are incompetent. So you're starting at negative. You're not starting at zero. So you're not having just to start at 1, 2, 3. You're starting at -5, -10. So you've really got to work hard to get to even zero, and then to show people that you can get them results. So really, it's all about, you know, can you can you generate that lead flow by actually showing people that you can help them by actually helping them in advance? That's super, super important.
Is there a strategy of where a direct marketing, we can kind of unpack that word in a moment, where I create my video, for instance, and we'll stick with the headache since we talk about that too, and I go through my three-pronged approach to headaches where, you know, I talk about the chemical parts of the stress, I talk about the postural stress, and then I kind of link in how Cobra. How is it enough for me just to create that video and people will call me? Does there need to be a call to action? Should that be withdrawn completely? What are the steps that somebody needs to go through to kind of really get that buyer's cycle? What have you found works?
Look, what I've found works is something that feels very even-handed, that feels like data. So it's kind of like, you know, the old style was, you know, seven things you should know about choosing a chiropractor. And that's kind of like, you know, we know that you're going to say you're the type of chiropractor we got to see and all of that sort of stuff. So what I've seen working really well is data. So something that you can update on a regular basis, something that you can, show something that feels very even-handed and all about the prospect's problem. I'll give you an example. In the, you know, I'm from a tech industry, and one of the companies in the tech industry, very well known in tech, probably not so much outside of business, is called Akamai, and they basically are the company that serve all the data that you get from iTunes, from Yahoo, from Microsoft. They're kind of the guys in the background who deliver that data, and every quarter they release into the industry what they call the state of the internet. So, and they basically measure what's happening on the internet in all different countries and regions and statistics and all of that. And within the IT and telecoms press, it generates a lot of press for them, you know, because people say, you know, whenever you've seen those articles that Australia's broadband is ranking behind Korea and all of that, that's come from their state of the internet report. They've done that research, and it comes out every quarter, generates a lot of press, a lot of people pay attention to it. And so if you can do something similar to that, whether, you know, it could be the state of healthcare right now in your industry. So basically they've said, look, we're essentially the mayors of the internet, and we're going to tell you what's happening with the internet every quarter. So can you be that person in your industry who says, you know, I'm going to be the one who's the president of chiropractors, or I'm going to be the one who's the president of headaches, or I'm going to be, you know, and start talking about, release an update, release a report quarterly, month, or might be relevant to you and your clients, and just talk to them about what's happening, you know, what are the latest trends, what are the latest things that are working. So almost like thinking that you're a news outlet, and, you know, that's something that works really, really well. It feels much more even-handed, and it really positions you as an authority, right? So, you know, like, my book isn't The Seven Secrets to Choosing a Business Coach. No, it's talking to the person's problem, you know, right, I can help you create a one-page marketing plan. So, you know, and from that positions me as an authority in the industry. And from that, I do get people who want coaching, who want to join my membership, who want to come and see me speak, all of those sorts of things. So if you can create a unicorn piece of content, maybe something that's updatable, so give people a reason to keep coming back, that works extremely well.
I love that idea. You mentioned a whole heap of things, you know, special reports, videos, downloads, cheat sheets, all that sort of stuff. What would you recommend someone starts with? They want to increase their authority, expertise, have people to know, like, and trust them, I guess. Yes. Where should someone start?
Yes, I recommend starting with what I call a unicorn piece of content. And a unicorn piece of content is something that you can be famous for. So something that no one else could put their name on. Like, only Akamai can put their name to the quarterly state of the internet report. Only Alan Dibb can put his name to the one-page marketing plan framework and concept. So what's your thing in quote marks? So do you have a particular process around curing headaches, or do you have a particular process around weight loss or something like that? And then give your process a name. Name it and put your name to it, so that, you know, people can understand that you're associated with that. And it's something that, you know, you'll see if something becomes shareable, if people start telling other people about it and people joining and so on, then that, you know, you're onto something. It's kind of like there's a couple of newsletters out there. I don't know if you've heard of The Hustle or The Morning Brew. They're now like at 1 million subscribers each. And all they do is curate the news, the tech news or the business news. Every morning in your inbox, you get a roundup of what's happening in business news or tech news or whatever. And they write it in an interesting way. It's not kind of boring. Like, you know, there's a bit of attitude, there's a bit of personality to it. And, you know, that's what I've tried to do with the book. I've tried to be very human, speak in a way that people speak, or write in a way that people speak, I should say, and not be too academic and too professional or whatever in quote marks. So if you can do something like that in your industry, be the one who creates, you could literally just create a Google alert around headaches and create a report that is a roundup of the latest news related to headaches, you know, and that's a newsletter that is almost generates itself each week or each month or however often you want to do it. So if you can create a almost like a news outlet or a unicorn piece of content or a process that you can put your name to, then, you know, you're going to be far, far ahead of all your competitors. All your competitors are just basically talking about how awesome they are and that they, you know, people should come in and see them. Whereas if you can build that pipeline of future prospects, people who are ready to buy in 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, a year, you're going to be far, far ahead. Like I had a guy who signed up for my high-level coaching program recently, and I asked him, how long have you been on my mailing list? And he said, 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. And so if 2 years ago I had said, lad, this guy's a tire kicker, and let him go, that would have been a lost opportunity. So if you really need to be thinking about how do I build not only clients that come in today, but how can I build that pipeline of future prospects who are going to buy in 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, a year, 2 years time, that's going to make things massively, massively easier for you.
A couple of things I want to touch on there. First of all, just quickly, again, if you don't know what a Google alert is, it's such a wonderful thing. You can kind of just do a search for Google alert. And what you can do is you can set a keyword and Google will send you an email of everything's going on. So whether it be headaches or sciatica or, you know, cleansers, you pick the word there too. And they'll send you up to date. Now you can choose to have the email sent to you daily or weekly. You can choose whether you want news items or blog articles there too. So if you're struggling to come up with content, this is such a brilliant way to go about it there too. So first thing, second thing you talked about naming, coming up with a name for your content as well. One, how important is that? And then two, do you have some ideas in around naming structures? What, you know, there's something so wonderfully simple about the one-page marketing plan, massively value directed there as well. It's simple, tells me what's going on. So how do we come up with something like that?
Yeah, naming is such an interesting topic because, you know, a lot of times people try to be really clever with their name or have some, like you see these books with a one-word name and all of that. And unless you're a famous author, you know, if you're a famous author, people just buy whatever you make or whatever it is. But if someone has to expend calories trying to figure out what you mean or whatever, that they're usually not going to do it. People think that if you create a funny or confusing or clever name, that people are going to try and figure it out or ask you what it means and all of that. The reality is, like, we're in the Instagram generation. People are flicking through, their fingers hovering above the delete button. So you need, you know, a title that you create for your unicorn piece of content, or really a title that you create for literally anything, whether it be your business or a process that you do or anything like that, your podcast, your newsletter, whatever it is, it should tell the whole story. So, you know, there should be no confusion. Always choose clarity over cleverness, or always choose clarity above confusion. So don't go for that clever name that kind of needs people to kind of figure out what it means or ask you what it means, because 9 times out of 10 people will not. So name it so that it's completely obvious what it means. So title should equal content. So it should be completely obvious what it's all about.
Mm. Yeah, the second thing I think about, and I think Tony and I, well, I'm certainly guilty of this too. I would think that I probably got your book at least 2, maybe 3 years ago. How long ago did you release it?
The first edition came out in 2016, and then we had the second edition last year.
Yeah. So let's say it was 2 years ago. And as we look behind here, you know, 2019, your book is behind you, and then recent conversations we had off there, you are still marketing and sharing this message probably as hard, if not harder now in terms
harder,
of...
Harder, yeah.
Yeah. So interesting, because again, in the back of my mind, you know, and there might be people going, oh, unicorn piece of content, that sounds like that's so hard, there's so much work involved with that too. Like, do it right, and this is it. Like, I don't see you putting out a lot of other content, mm-hmm. other bits and pieces in other areas. Like, Alan is the one-page marketing plan, and mm-hmm. that people get involved in that too. It's a great reminder for me too in terms of just what is that unicorn piece? You know, find what kind of serves your audience there. And as that, so this is a generator of people towards you. And as you said before, the gentleman who'd taken 2 years to get towards it. Do you have thoughts around, you know, books? Like, if you're going to start again, is it a book? Is it a video? You know, is there a reason? Because your book is actually in hardcover as well. For those of you that are watching the video, you can see it in behind here. But also, we've talked about the Kindle version. Do you have an audiobook version of it?
Yeah, there's an audiobook version of it on Audible, so you can listen to it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What? So in terms of the type of, if I'm coming up with this unicorn piece of content, should it be hard copy, or what are your thoughts in terms of it being digital versus hard copy?
This is such a great question, and I'm actually presenting on a similar topic in a few weeks' time. But think about you know, imagine it's your anniversary, right? And you know, you send a text to your wife saying, you know, hey, happy anniversary, babe, I love you, right? That's nice, right? But imagine that message is written on a nice card with a bunch of flowers. Do you think it's going to make a difference? I think the message would be, you know, it could be same message but received very, very differently. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. Like, most of the content that I have in the book, I used to have on my blog, I used to have in various other forms. And yes, it did get some traction on the blog and did get traction in other forms. But when it became in packaged up in book form, it became hugely more valuable. In other words, the package really matters, right? So the package does make a difference. So, you know, Tiffany's whole business model is the package, really, that little, I don't know, is it turquoise or blue or whatever little box, that makes the diamond ring more valuable than if it's just at your local diamond dealer, right? So so the package does matter. But having said that, you need to start somewhere. And, you know, a book is a fairly big commitment. So I'm not saying everybody needs to do a book, but think about... you know, almost like that ladder of value in terms of content. Like, you pay nothing for a blog post, but then maybe a podcast is a little bit more valuable to you. Maybe a video is even more valuable if you package something up as a course that feels more valuable. Even though it might be the exact same information, packaging it in a different format can make it feel more valuable, even though the intrinsic thing is the same thing. So, you know, I had the one-page marketing plan process. I had most of the content that's in the book freely available on my blog and through other medium, and I had free reports, but it didn't get as much traction as the book. So it being in book form made it more valuable. So yes, the package does matter. But having said that, start somewhere. Like if a blog can easily turn into a book down the track, blog can easily turn into a video series or short videos. One of the things that I'm doing that's working really well right now is literally 1 minute videos on social media. I have questions that come into my inbox every single day, and they make really good material for future videos. So, you know, someone might ask, you know, what should I do about XYZ when it comes to marketing? And I literally grab my iPhone, pump out an answer, and then that goes onto Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and gets syndicated, and it gets a lot of views. And so, literally, that is start with your iPhone, creating 1 minute videos that go onto LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, wherever your audience reside. So the answer is start somewhere, but the package does matter. Like, think about packages that kind of feel more valuable, that feel more valuable to your audience.
Mm.
It's some, for some people, this is going to be, oh, yeah, great. I know what to do. I'm going to be this person. I'm going to set myself here and be that expert and produce all this stuff. For some, it's going to be a little overwhelming. And, you know, with the practitioners that we deal with, they kind of have this, a lot of them have this feeling like they have to do it all themselves and it all falls back on me. And, oh, my God, I've only got a certain amount of hours in the day and I'm not going to be able to do this. You know, I do my best work when I'm hands-on with people. You've obviously got a team behind you doing parts of this. For someone who owns their own business, a small business, can we talk to that concept of having others help, that team idea? What are your recommendations there?
That was an extraordinary segue. That was a great segue. Nice step across,
buddy. I appreciate that.
Very good. So, just to congratulate ourselves in particular. Well, when are we going to? I was just thinking in my mind, we've got to get onto the team thing, and then there it was. So,
good one, guys. It is a good segue, and it is a good question too. You know, but I know that.
Just pause for the self-congratulatory on the Marketing Your Practice podcast. Anyway, moving on.
So I know people are listening to this and freaking out and thinking, oh, it's okay for you. You've got a team and it's okay for you. You know what to do and all of that sort of thing. So, you know, I started with a team of one, then it became a team of two, then it became a team of three. Now I've got a team of four, right? So it's a small team for the kind of business that we do in terms of our revenue and our numbers. It's a very, very small team. So, but we manage to achieve a lot because we focus on high leverage activities. And I want to go into that a bit slightly later, but let's talk about team. So, because we've had such a great segue to it. So, so the question is, do you need to be doing this all yourself? And, you know, if you had have asked me a few years ago, I was coaching business owners and I was saying, look, you've really got to set aside some time to do this stuff. This is important. Let's find a way to do it. And, you know, what I've really found over the years is rather than trying to fit a round peg in a square hole, you know, let's just focus on your strengths. And if your strengths are delivering the service or product that you have, then let's just focus on that and let's get other people to do the stuff that we know that you don't like to do, that are too boring, that are too, you know, that you get too busy with and all of that sort of thing. And here's what I've found over the years. There are three types of people that you need in a business to make your business successful. You need the entrepreneur type. So that's guys like you and me. So we're the ideas people, the visionaries. We come up with a new product or service every 10 minutes and we just freak out our whole team, right? So then you need the specialist. The specialist is the person that delivers your product or service. So very often it's the same as the entrepreneur, not always, you know. So this could be someone who's the chiropractor, the physio, the whatever, the IT guy, all of that sort of stuff. So sometimes that's the entrepreneur, sometimes not. Now, the third role, which I find is the one that's most missing, especially from a marketing perspective, is that manager role. So that's the person who basically comes in every day, drives the bus, does the same route every day, checks all the boxes, comes in the next day, does the thing, makes sure it's done. And this is the stuff that, you know, entrepreneurs like you and I, we just get bored to death with that stuff. We just will not do it, you know, and it's like trying to fit a round peg in a square hole. It's just not us. There are personality types that absolutely love doing that stuff. They absolutely love checking off the boxes, doing the routine stuff. They don't want to, you know, the thought of risks or doing new things and all of that freaks them out. And so you need to put someone in that manager role who's going to send the news each week or each month, who's going to post cards to clients, who's going to do some of the follow-up calls, who's going to do all of these things that we know that you're most likely either not going to do, that you're going to be bored with, that you're going to be too busy to do and all of that sort of thing. So you need to get someone in that manager role, especially as it relates to marketing. A lot of times we've got that manager role sorted when it comes to the operational side, you know, someone to take bookings, someone to deliver the actual service, to take care of clients. But from a marketing perspective, very often that manager role is missing. And that's super, super important. That will make all difference. And telling you, that made all the difference in my business as well, because that manager role can then hire other people to do some of the other tactical stuff. So you need a video, or you need a landing page, or you need a web opt-in or something like that. You want someone taking care of all that. And it's gotten to the stage where literally in my business, I do only two things. I do, I create original content, you know, like books, raw videos, podcast interviews like this. And the second thing that I do is work with clients on a coaching basis. Literally every other marketing process in my business is done by my team. So
good.
That includes, you know, captioning videos, uploading them, replying to requests and all of that sort of stuff. So literally that all of that is done by my team, and that creates a lot of leverage for me to create. You know, that means I can focus my time on the stuff that I'm absolute best at, which is working with clients and coaching and creating new original content. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
totally does. It was interesting the other day. I was chatting with your lovely assistant who's an American working for an Australian living in South Africa. And I was like, hang on, this is kind of cool. This is the global team that I guess is possible. You know, we can often be looking, so I need someone. Oh, they must live within 5 kilometers of my practice or my business. Yet, you know, in your example, there's someone sitting across the other side of the world doing some great work for it with you.
My entire team is scattered all over the world. I've got two people in the Philippines, one person permanently in South Africa, and Claire, who you spoke to, she's a digital nomad. She's in a different country practically every time I speak to her. She's in South Africa at the moment. And I've never personally met any of them. I mean, we do video conferences all the time, but I'll be meeting Claire for the first time in when she's down in Sydney in April for the first time physically, but we've been working together for years. So you don't need someone who's sitting in your office all the time or someone who's physically around, and you know, you can tap into a massive global pool of talent. It's never been easier.
So on that, where do we find these people? Like, if I identify, first of all, do you know what? I need this manager person to help me. And for some of you listening, it might just be a bookkeeper. Like, you know, I still laugh with my wife, who's a chiropractor as well. She's still doing the bookkeeping of her practice. I'm like, will you stop it? And but anyway, so whatever it is for you that will give you some time to, one of the things I liked what Alan said beforehand, you know, he's doing the things that only Alan can do. You know, that idea of content creation and coaching, they're the most highly valued and leveraged services. For many of us, it might be adjustment or it might be getting other people in. Anyway, once you identify who it is, how do we find them?
Yeah, so I think, you know, there's a global talent pool of people who are available. Now, there's the usual places like Upwork, Fiverr and all of those. And I've had hit and miss with those. So sometimes you get someone who's really, really good, and then they can turn into someone who you can work with on a regular basis. But here's where I would start. I would start within your own network. So I would say to you, maybe send out an email or a Facebook post or something, say, look, I'm looking for someone to come in for 2 or 3 hours a day just to help me out with a few things, and send that out to your immediate network of people. I'm sure within your own network, there's a mom who wants to get back into the workforce, or someone who just wants a few hours work. Because if you think about it, there's so much talent sitting at home, basically, who want a few hours work. They want a bit of part-time work. And you don't have to start with someone who's full-time, who you have to, you know, pay a hot full-time salary or whatever. You can get someone in for a few hours work. And like I said, there are many moms who were in the workforce before. They now got kids. The kids go to school. And between, you know, maybe the hours of 9 a.m. and 3 p.m., they're generally free or available to work for a few hours. And they make a fantastic pool of talent. And there are literally websites dedicated to hiring moms. I think one is called The Mom Project. Another one is called Hire My Mom. So they're a good place. That's a good place to start. So I would start within your own network. I'm sure someone within your own network knows somebody who's looking for a few hours work. They don't want to work full time. They don't want to go full on back into the workforce, but they wouldn't mind going in and doing a few hours work. So the second question that I often get asked is, do they have to be a marketing expert? Do they have to know all of this stuff? And the answer is absolutely not. Literally no one in my team knew the technical stuff of what they're doing right now in their jobs. I hired based on attitude. So I hired, you know, people that I think were had a really good attitude, that a can-do attitude, willing to learn, kind of keen to do new things. And we can train the technical skills. That's easy. I mean, there are bucket loads of courses and things out there that that can train on copywriting, can train on Facebook, can train on social, all of that sort of stuff. I mean, you've probably bought 10 courses and not gone through them, right? You know, if you're anything like me, I mean, I've bought every course that's out there, and I've probably gone through about 10% of them, maybe. So, so all of those courses and materials and books and things like that, you know, that you wanted to go through, or whatever. Get the person that you hire to go through some of those, and get them to start just doing one thing for you. Maybe your monthly newsletter that you know you should have been doing all of this time. And, you know, take that off your plate, and you're going to feel like a whole weight is lifted off your shoulders. When you see that monthly newsletter going out and you had nothing to do with it, it's the most awesome thing ever. So that's where I would start.
Yeah, I love it. Sweet. Which reminds me of, well, two things remind me. One, the shininess of our foreheads, which is ridiculous. And I was just going to say, for those who are just listening to this podcast, if you wanted to catch a glimpse of the shiny forehead competition, we're actually, Alan's going to be coming live with us later this year at the Community Influencer Live program. So we're very excited about having Alan come down for that in Melbourne.
August 24 and 25.
Yes.
Pumped, looking forward to it.
And I think we've got Alan delivering two sessions.
He is going to deliver a couple on some new rules of marketing, and he's going to go through some great information. So this is just a little taste of it.
It's been great. So, gang, what I want to encourage you to do, if you haven't been back, listen to the earlier episode with Alan, and head back and do that. He does a great job kind of overseeing this, or going over this entire one-page marketing plan. And then again, if you haven't, then please go and buy Alan's book. He needs the money to pay his staff. So first of all, that $2.95, of which I'm sure he probably gets about 45 cents of it from Amazon at the end, is well too. It's as us as service providers, as well, I think you'd be hard pushed to, and again, I have read literally dozens of marketing books, and it's one of my favorites for that very reason there also. So, Alan, any other projects that our audience should know, or spaces they should go to check you out and find out more about you?
Look, the book's a great place to start. I've got a membership community as well for people who want to really learn marketing and go to the next level. And then anyone who's doing probably about $200,000-$300,000 and above, I have a one-on-one coaching program as well. But really start with the book. The book's got a lot of my best material in it. Successwise.com is my website. You can join my mailing list and join the conversation.
Wonderful. Well, Alan, I always, I sit here with the warm and fuzzies after having a good laugh. It's actually not all that early in the morning. It's now quarter to 8 in the morning here as well. So I look forward to seeing you in person in a few months' time. If you head on over to adiomedia.com just head to adiomedia. You'll find some information there about our Community Influencer Live event. We've got some great, we have a terrific lineup with regards to that too. That is a process for us to help you, as you know, complementary health practitioners, get your word out there, have more impact in your community, and become the go-to person as well. And we're really excited that Alan's going to be kind of sharing his magnificence when we're there. So Alan, again, from Tony and myself, thanks so much for hanging out with us this morning. We look forward to seeing you real soon. Thanks, mate.
Pleasure, guys. Pleasure.
You've been listening to the Marketing Your Practice podcast, where we help natural health practitioners and wellness experts build profitable, predictable, and enjoyable practices. For more information, please visit www.adiomedia.com.